Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. I'm J. Marie Schaefer.
And good morning. I'm Kim Hance.
And you are here with the Herzog Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour, where we answer your questions about estate planning, elder law planning, Medicaid, long-term care, guardianship, geriatric care management.
Yep.
And we welcome your questions. You can call into the show at 518-476-5900 or toll-free at 1-800-WROW-590. So today we have Kim with us, and Kim is a aging life care manager, as of you know.
That's you right. Got that one good.
And she works with our clients to help them, you know, assess their long-term care needs and see what resources are available to them out in the community. And she's been a great asset to our firm.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. I've really enjoyed it. It's been an opportunity for me to really use my complete skill set, if you will, in all sorts of situations. And a lot of times people get confused because they don't realize that I actually work for Herzog, that I am a part of, they think I'm something separate.
Right.
But indeed, I am a non-attorney at the firm and really enjoy
working with our clients. People don't like attorneys, so they like you the best, right?
Let's hope anyway, right?
That's right.
Although I always say our attorneys are good guys, like we try to make things work and try to find solutions for folks, which is really nice. I was just surprised because we just finished doing all of our client seminars, and you know, the ones we do in Albany are so big, and almost all the folks that came up and talked to me afterwards talked about how they love listening to the radio every Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, call in. You should call in and ask your questions, because and just talking to some people, they're like, well, I'm really nervous that maybe I won't sound right. But it's always nice to have folks call in and ask questions, because like we say, if you're thinking about it, other people are too.
Right. And we, if you're kind of shy about talking on the radio, you can give your question to Ben and he'll give it to us. And that's happened before.
Oh, that's true.
That's true. If you think Ben has a better radio voice. Yes.
Or you're afraid somebody's going to recognize your voice.
That's right. So before we get into some of our law topics, I thought I'd bring up something because it's been really, really hot lately, right?
Yes.
And humid. And a lot of us are, you know, seeing our parents and grandparents. So I thought I'd read about this little article I picked up called 12 Summer Safety Tips for Seniors. And this is important because seniors are definitely more susceptible to the heat, and there's many different reasons why, you know, their medications they could be on. So these are just some tips, and they're good for seniors, they're good for everyone.
Yeah.
Number one is to stay hydrated, because seniors are more susceptible to dehydration.
Right, and it's interesting because a lot of times people will say that they can't really get their folks to drink. Mm-hmm. And so we talk about different ways to explore that. And one thing that you might not realize, particularly when you're dealing with someone who's a little bit older, is it may actually be more challenging for them to drink out of a regular cup.
Mm-hmm.
Just between holding it and, you know, if they have shakiness or weakness, that holding a cup might be hard. So those getting a cup that has a lid and a straw might be a really great way to adapt for seniors, because again, we have to kind of think of the things that we need to do for them to make their life a little bit easier, to drink. And then the cup that I have is great. It's almost like a gigantic sippy cup.
Right, and the one you have is the aluminum, right?
So it's hydroflask, so it keeps things cold.
Keeps it really cold.
I think that's the other thing. And then it's just got a little slit in the top, so you don't have to flip anything up to drink. And I think that's the other thing is, you know, particularly if you're dealing with somebody that might have some kind of memory impairment, they may not know how to actually flip the lid on a cup to actually drink from it. So
straw is probably easier.
Right. And that goes back to when we're children, right? So that's kind of part of muscle memory, though.
Yeah, you know, when you think
about it, and those are some of the things that we really have to think about too when we're working with seniors. It's just not about just leaving a glass of water there. It's really the encouragement and thinking about what will actually make it easier for them to be successful.
That's right. And then the second one is to talk to your doctor about your medications, because some medications may make you more susceptible to heat. One I can think of is if you're on certain antibiotics, you're more susceptible to sunburn.
So you're not supposed to go out into the sun.
So it's just important to know what medications you're on and if there's anything special you need to look out for. The next one is keep your cool, you know. So not everyone has air conditioning. If you don't, I mean, look at places you can go to, a shopping mall, a movie theater, your local library, to cool down during the day. You know, often at night it's a little bit cooler and you can get by with fans and such, but try and find places where you can go out to get cool.
Right, and there are other, a lot of times too, working with families, our local offices on aging now have weatherization projects, and they have a lot of funding for that, and a lot of that can also include air conditioning in the summertime. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about keeping your home warm in the winter, it's also about keeping it cooler in the summer. And a lot of chronic medical conditions too, some insurances may pay for somebody to have air conditioning. I know, you know, particularly folks who are on oxygen and who have difficulty breathing, a lot of times the insurance company will pay to have window units put in the home, because they realize that ultimately that's going to keep them out of the hospital. So it's really looking at those resources that are available too for folks.
Yeah, that's great. A great idea to look at that. That's not something that would be obvious, right? To think
Right. You
get air conditioning from your health insurance, but that's a great idea. Next tip is to stay in touch. So if you're not around or near your parents, or keep in touch with them, find out what they're doing, where they're going. You know, this is, even if they're going to be outside gardening for a long period of time, like, you should let your kids know that's what you're doing, so they can check in on you. And then related to that is, you know, get to know your neighbors. You know, if you're not there to check in on your parents, are there neighbors or friends that you can call on to check in on them?
No, that's a definite bonus, because utilizing that informal support system, and that's one of the things when I go meet with families, we talk about that. We talk about, you know, do you have folks in your neighborhood, in your church, you know, different places that you frequent that we might be able to utilize as part of a support network for folks.
Yeah, that's going to be a great idea just in general for your care plan, not just for checking on you for the heat, but as that's just a resource as we age to really make you stay in your home longer, which is what we talk about a lot. Another thing they suggest is to know who to call and keep a list of emergency phone numbers and put that somewhere, you know, usually we say on the refrigerator. So if you are having problems and someone comes into the house, they know how to, you know, find your kids or to get in touch with them.
The other thing that's nice too about those kinds of things is it identifies, particularly if folks have pets, what should happen in the event that they have to be hospitalized, you know, what's an emergency plan for pet, because, you know, we often, a lot of times having an animal in the home will inhibit somebody from actually calling for help because they're worried about what's going to happen to their animal. So that's also a great way to, you know, a good thing to identify for folks.
Right, if you have a neighbor who could watch a dog, you know, someone come in and feed the cat, because I know that is something that people do worry about.
Yep.
The next one, and we talk about this a lot, is with clients with Alzheimer's, is to wear the right clothing.
Oh, yes.
And that's something that in Alzheimer's, that was one of the signs of early signs, is that you may be wearing the wrong clothing for the weather.
Right.
So, for example, on a day like today, someone may be going out wearing a sweater or a coat.
Right.
Because they're not regulating their temperature that well.
Right. Well, and seniors typically are a little bit colder anyway, generally. So they, you know, will wear sweaters and dress a little bit heavier. So making sure, you're right, that they are dressed appropriately. And even on a day like this morning when I woke up, it was overcast and very foggy at my house. So somebody not really understanding what it's like would see that and think it was like a winter, you know, a misty winter day. And they would dress for the winter, not really understanding, and go outside, and you would be very surprised.
That's right.
It's not a misty winter day.
Right. But they could overheat, you know, and they may not know that.
Very
right.
easily. Yes.
Very easily. And something else you need to protect is your eyes, you know, out in the sun. And definitely having sunglasses is going to protect your eyes. And that, and some seniors do have a hard time seeing when they're driving.
Correct.
And that, so that's something to make sure that's going to keep them driving longer if they have the right glasses. And let's see, next one is to know the risks of hyperthermia. I always thought it was hypothermia. I guess I was wrong.
Well, for cold, but
that's
then
cold.
Hyper
this is hyper
is
for the
hot.
Heat.
Yeah.
So you learned something, right?
Yeah.
And this has happened to me. I've gotten hot. So it's looking for, you know, dry, flush skin, headache, changes in behaviors where you're, you know, you're not all there, you know.
Right.
Rapid pulse, not sweating even if it's hot, you know, and then down to fainting. And some people can heat up very quickly and get into this. And I know personally from my experience, you have to get inside, cool down right away, get some cold water, get some ice on you.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's not working, you have to get to the ER right away.
Yeah. And I think it's important to you know, this is kind of one of the other things that we were talking about, particularly folks that have cognitive issues, is you kind of need to know what they're like, what their baseline is like before mm-hmm. they get older. I mean, you know, I think you and I are very similar. We get hot very, very quickly and very, right. very fast. And I'm one of these people that I have always been like that. I grew up in North Carolina. And when most people find that out, they're like, why are you here? And my main reason is because I hate the heat. Hate it. I would
so
much prefer
right
it to be 30 degrees and, you know, I can tolerate the winter and the cold. So knowing your senior and knowing what their tolerance was even prior to becoming older is really important because, you know, my dad's a perfect example. I mean, I inherited, my dad is hot all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's gotten older, it's harder for him to regulate mm-hmm. that. And, he doesn't always pay attention, and
right.
we will see him, and I'm like, Dad, you're sweating pretty good there. You probably should take a break, you know, sort of thing, and trying to avoid having a catastrophe at hand.
And that would be something good to pass on to caregivers if you're not
Correct.
Around to take care of your parents, to just let them know what's normal, what to look yep. out for, you know, when to call the doctor or the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Next one, and this is for everyone, young and old, is to put on sunscreen and wear hats, you know, especially, you know, it just makes sense to wear a hat that keeps you cooler, keeps the sun off your face,
mm-hmm.
and kind of back to the dressing appropriately, where someone with a little dementia may not wear appropriate clothing.
Right.
And then the last one is if exercise smart. So if you are, you know, that's something you normally do. You go outside walking or gardening or doing some exercise outside. Maybe in this weather, you need to cut it back a little bit. You know, not cut it out entirely. Cut the time. Bring mm-hmm. extra water. And also consider doing it early in the morning and late in the evening because those are the cooler times of day.
Right, right.
Right.
Those are always great tips because those
yeah.
are always the big things that we hear about when
right.
It gets hot. It are, you know, the number of people that it kills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just people sitting in their apartments and it just gets
right.
so stifling hot they don't really realize,
right.
you know, what's happening and become dehydrated very quickly. And
yeah, just maybe getting out to the library would help, you know, for
life-threatening, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, no, that's good tips. Good tips for everyone. And so if you're not near your parents, maybe you could call in and check on them and make sure they're doing okay in this hot weather today.
Yeah. So we'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call at 518-476-5900 or I guess at toll free 1-800-WROW-590. Things are quiet this morning.
They are. It's a holiday weekend. So
that's true. It is.
That's right.
It was funny. I walked in to get groceries or something last night, and the guy was like, how was your fourth? And I was like, it was a Thursday, but I was off from work, so it was great.
That's right. I know. It's not so much fun when it's in the middle of the week, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you know, it's I guess there are people who really celebrate, though, who really do it up big. And,
right.
you know, I just, we just kind of hung out, so.
So, we at our client seminars, we had a lot of interest in the topic aging in place, which we talk a lot about.
Correct.
And we kind of just gave a little tease, talked like 10 minutes about it. And we just want to remind everyone we have full-length seminars coming up on aging in place. And that's how to receive care at home and not having to go to a nursing home. And those seminars are coming up in August. We're giving people a break in July. I figure you're probably on vacation.
Well, Kingston's in July.
It's hardly July. It's July 30th. Yeah, that's practically August, right?
Right.
So the Kingston date is July 30th at 2 o'clock at the Best Western Plus on Washington Avenue in Kingston. And then in the Albany area, we have Tuesday, August 13th at 2 o'clock at the Hampton Inn in Clifton Park. We have Wednesday, August 14th, we have two seminars, one at 10 at the Courtyard by Marriott on Washington Ave in Albany, and then in the evening at 6:30 at the Glenn Sanders Mansion. And on Thursday, August 15th at 2 o'clock at the Holiday Inn Express in East Greenbush. And you can sign up for these seminars by calling the office at 465-7581 and asking to speak to Stacy. Or you can email us at info@herzoglaw.com.
And those will be seminars that I'm at this time.
That's right. Kim will be there to
do a big part of that presentation, talking about care at home. And one of the things particularly as of late, is I've worked with a few clients that have waited a little too long to make the decision to come in. They've come in and we've started the plan, and they've ended up having to need nursing home, because one of the things that I stress to folks is this process, while it can be very beneficial for our folks in keeping them at home, the amount of time that it takes to get everything in place can be very challenging. And, you know, the importance of planning is so crucial. Particularly when we're talking about these community programs.
Yeah, that's right. So even if you don't think you need it right now, it's good to learn about it if it's coming up down the road, you know, so you kind of know how to plan for it. Because you do need to make advanced planning for financial preparation, and even just preparation for your house, you know, and then finding out who your network of caregivers are. There's a lot of components to it. There's legal, there's financial, there's social.
Right.
Yeah, and that's why having a team like us and then Kim, you know, is really good to handle all different aspects of it.
Right. And we work really hard to try to get things done as quickly as possible. But again, when you're applying for a government program, the documentation that's required is vast.
That's right.
And sometimes we're asking folks for things and they're like, I have no idea where that is.
Yes.
You know, so they're having to request new documents. And if you have to request a birth certificate or a Social Security card or a new Medicare card, it takes time. And so we sit around waiting for those documents to come in, you know, because they won't take the application without them.
That's right.
And so it's really important to have all of that stuff or no. And again, it can take 6 weeks to get one of those documents, and sometimes longer. So that waiting period is very painful for a lot of folks, particularly when they need services now.
Right.
Sort of.
So that's one thing you can do to prepare ahead of time. If you're not that good at record keeping, you know, sorting your papers out to make it easier. Or, you know, as a child, if you know your parent isn't really good at, you know, keeping paperwork, just having them go over it with you so you know where everything is in advance. And we say that's good for estate planning also.
Amen.
That's,
you know,
right.
Just having a folder and just start getting things together and keeping copies of things, and so that they're easily accessible. I know my husband and I were even having this conversation lately, because he knows where some things are and I know where other things are. And so I said, you know, it's probably good for us just to put everything together and, you know, in relation to all of these things, because when he travels out of the country a lot, and, you know, he's always telling me, make sure that the
life insurance is paying.
Right, right.
But he also has business insurance that, that, so I don't know anything about that, right? So I said it is important for us to kind of get all of that stuff in one place so that we really know. Mm-hmm. And just the number of people that we come in, that come into the office and sit around the table with us and say, well, my wife always did that
stuff,
or my husband always did that. I don't know what we have or where things are. And that, you know, particularly when folks are in crisis, that's an even harder thing to put on top of them. It's a burden for them to really start digging through things and trying to find all of these documents of what they need and copies of things. And, you know, so.
Well, as our family is, you know, I do all the bill paying and my husband doesn't. So he honestly really knows nothing about
that's
where
the way it is in our house too. Yeah.
So as I'm getting older, I realized, oh, he needs to know where things are, you know.
Right.
And it probably also came up because I had to have a surgery last month, so I like made a list of where everything is. I show them how I pay the bills online, you know, just a good idea, so he knows what to do. You know?
Isn't that a funny thing to? And that's what I said to my husband, you know, because I'm generally in charge of our daughter, and I always say to him, you know, how is it possible that we have a 15-year-old and you don't know these things? But it is because I've been the primary caregiver and he, you know, he travels so extensively that I kind of forget that he really doesn't know some sort of common sense things. I went on vacation in March and the list of things that I was like, oh my gosh, you know, and then you look back and you look at everything that it takes to put together. And sometimes we just, you know, you just have a natural rhythm and you assume that people know things and they really don't. So it is really important to be aware.
We see that a lot where elderly couples and then one is sick and the other one doesn't know, has not paid the bills. And
right. Or no idea that it even needs to happen.
That's right. So that's why having a power of attorney and a healthcare proxy are important.
Right.
Because if you don't want to handle these things on your own, you can appoint someone else to handle them for you. A lot of elderly clients appoint their kids as their power of attorney.
Yep.
You know, sooner rather than later, they're like, I don't want to deal with the bills. You can take over and pay for them.
No, that's true. And, you know, a lot of times people don't realize that. They just think, oh, my kids are just going to be able to take care of things. But the issue is that sometimes they can't. And, you know, we're dealing with a couple right now that the wife is now at moderate stage Alzheimer's. And she only named her husband as power of attorney. And what's going to happen, you know, we're making the plans, but he more likely will pass before she does. And so we know we're going to have to deal with the guardianship because, you know, there is no ability to change that at this point. So we're trying to make the plans for that so it's not as hard. But, you know, going through a guardianship is difficult and it's traumatic. And it, you know, in the state that she's in, it will really turn her world upside down because she will have attorneys asking her questions that she's really not, you know, that will really, it will trigger her dementia and her anxiety. And and it's going to make it very challenging for her should that happen. So it's just super important to have
so
this thing taken care
of. It's not only important to have the documents done, but to appoint successor agents.
Correct.
You know, definitely one or two. Because you never know what's going to happen, and then you can be in a position where there's no one to make decisions for you.
Right.
You only name one person.
Right.
So that's a good reason to look, even if you have a document, look at it. A lot of people who did it a long time ago just named their spouse, like you said. Mm. And, you know, their kids were young, and so they didn't really name them as a backup.
Right. Well, and so Dave and I just did legal and financial planning for folks specifically with Alzheimer's and dementia at the Queensbury Senior Center. And it was with the Alzheimer's Association. And one of their videos in the presentation, it is a woman who husband has dementia. And she said, you know, we had taken care of all of our documents 20 years ago. So we really weren't thinking about things. And then she said when she went in and met with a physician, the physician actually brought up to them, make sure everything's in place. And she's like, oh, yes, we did that. And so the physician then said, well, who is your power of attorney? And she said, well, of course he is. And then it dawned on her like, oh, my gosh, I can't, you know, I shouldn't have somebody who we have has a known diagnosis as being, you know. So a lot of times, too, you know, doing the planning is great, but it's really important to pull that stuff out and really look at it.
Right.
Because as life changes, you may want to change some things as well.
Right.
You know, just the wording of how things are done. And, you know, most people go, oh, I have a will. Well, will's not really going to do much good, you know, until after you're gone.
Well, so, just to pick up on what you said, it's important. We're often doing the planning to get care for the one person in the couple, you know, if they have dementia or Alzheimer's or some type of diagnosis. But we can't just forget about the other spouse, you know. So we may have to look at that spouse's documents and update them to take that person off, you know, which is sometimes hard, you know, to do.
Right.
To realize that they can't take care of things for you anymore. But it's good to maybe redo the healthcare proxy and power of attorney to put someone else in place for you.
Well, I think the other thing is, too, is so often, you know, we're planning for the obvious person, the person who's got some kind of issue, you know, illness, cognitive, whatever. But we don't always recognize the toll that caregiving takes on folks. And suddenly, in a lot of cases, it's the caregiver that ends up having an issue. So now we have two people that need to be taken care of. And and while you come in to do a plan for this person that it's obvious, the writing's on the wall, so to speak, that this is the person we need to provide care for, always need to look at the periphery as well and do a complete plan. And that's the thing that I love, that I think we're really good at, is we really look at both people because it's two aging people that are sitting at the table with us.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
So we want to make a plan for both of them because the likelihood of, you know, if one needs care, I mean, just aging in general requires, because we're living longer, we're living older, you know, we're not living, I don't think, as well. I mean, chronic diseases are being managed, but it just extends the amount of time somebody's going to need care. So you really do have to look at that whole picture to develop a good working plan for folks.
That's right. And so that was a good discussion. We'll continue talking about these topics, aging in place, healthcare proxies, powers of attorney, guardianships. And we'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, and Flatbush Road in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, Harry, or Debbie, please call us during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office at 518-581-8131. Or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help you navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Welcome back. I'm J. Marie Schaefer.
Hey, good morning, and I'm Kim Hantz.
And you're here with the second half of the Herzog Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour. And just before the break, we were talking about how to take care of the caregiver, so to speak, right? So if we're planning for a couple and one person needs care, we need to look at the whole picture and make sure the caregiver gets their estate planning documents in place as well.
Right.
And so that's also why it's really important to get things done in advance, you know, while you're both well and you can both make those decisions together. A lot of times we see, for example, second marriages and assets are combined. And when we're doing the wills, the couple usually wants to split it up. So half goes to their kids from the first marriage, the other half goes to their kids from the first marriage. And that can get a little sticky. So planning that out in advance and writing down your wishes are really important.
super important, you know, just so that people really understand what your wishes are. I always share my example when my husband and I were doing our estate planning and we got to the point where we were talking about the healthcare proxy and, you know, the living will part of it and what I did or didn't want as far as, you know, extraordinary measures. Mm-hmm. And I noticed him becoming, you know, you have to watch people's body language as you sit, because you're talking about very real things that could happen. And, you know, at one point he really kind of withdrew and like his whole facial expression changed. And so I looked at him and I said, are you okay? And he was like, I don't think I can do this. And so I'm like, you can't do what? And as it turns out, he could not be my healthcare proxy because he did not think that in a moment of crisis, he would be able to follow through on what my wishes were. So it was good for me to know that. It would have been better to have known that prior to walking into the office to do the document. So again, a lot of times when we're doing this stuff with people, they go, oh, we're going to let Susie do it because she's the oldest, and we're going to let Johnny do it so that he doesn't feel left out. But that's really not the way to do it.
No, I always tell people it's not who's the best person for the job.
Right.
It could be your kids. It may not be your kids. It may be your brother, your sister, your niece, or your nephew. You know, someone who's most aligned with you and how you would want to be treated.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't just be, like you said, your oldest child, because they may not be good at handling that stuff.
Right. I love one of the things that you know, Debbie always says is that at the very least, if you're making somebody power of attorney, they should, you know, at least be able to balance a checkbook.
Yes,
well, that would eliminate me completely because, you know, I don't keep records that way. And but it's true, because you need somebody who is fiscally, you know, responsible and who does understand what needs to be taken care of and things like that. So super important things to think about and consider when you're putting these documents in place.
Right. You can have different people be your power of attorney and your healthcare proxy. It doesn't have to be the same person. You're just looking for someone who's going to be really good at the job.
Right. Right.
So we'd welcome your calls. You can call in with any of your questions at 518-476-5900 or toll free at 1-800-WROW-590. I guess people are out celebrating the 4th, right?
That, or they're just resting because they
celebrate
too
hard. That could be. But not us. We're all up here early. Well, Ben's even here earlier than us.
Right? That's right.
Yes.
And then we have our folks up in the North Country. I always like to recognize them because it's a new part of the radio station, right, Ben?
Thank you. 96.9.
That's great. Yeah.
And 1410 on the AM dial.
It's nice to have, because we're up north quite a lot, too. I mean, most people will say, well, where do you go? You know, Dutchess, Ulster County, although we have had a few people a little further south than that, but generally Dutchess, Ulster County, all the way up to the Canadian border.
Yeah, it's quite a large area.
It is a large geographical area. And, you know, one of the things that I do that's so different than what happens in a normal, you know, law firm is I actually go out and do home visits and spend a lot of time with folks in the community. And that means that there's a lot of, you
traveling?
Know, a lot of windshield time. But it's nice because I love seeing people in their environment, but it also tells me that a lot about what's going on. We have our first caller, Elaine from Albany. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning. I have a quick question, and my aunt is dealing with looking at possibly going into a nursing home. And I'm helping my cousin with the process. And we had a question we were just posed with. She currently does have Medicaid, but it's Medicaid with a spend down. And someone had just approached my cousin talking about she needs to apply for community Medicaid. And we didn't know if that was something different. And we were we were familiar with the radio show, and we were thinking about coming in to talk to you. And I said, well, we could also call in before we make an appointment.
Yeah.
Is there a difference between those two, the Medicaid with the spend down and community Medicaid?
Well, so community Medicaid is when you're receiving care in the community, so getting care at home or going to an adult daycare. And if you have community Medicaid and your income is too high, yes, then you would have a spend down to qualify for that Medicaid. And that spend down either has to be spent on medical expenses. It could go into a trust. You know, there's a couple different things to do with that. Now, you also mentioned that you're thinking of maybe she has to go to a nursing home. So that's another type of Medicaid. That's called chronic care Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
And the chronic care Medicaid is different. It's not really a spend down. It's basically the nursing home takes all your money, you know. So your income at that point all goes towards the nursing home. Whereas on community Medicaid, if you do certain things, you can keep use of your income.
My guess is that you guys probably have community Medicaid. Mm-hmm. And the spend down just means that the person that you've applied for, their income is higher than what Medicaid allows, but through using a community pooled trust, you can divert that extra income into an account that will then allow you to use it to pay bills.
Yeah, it's very low. I think it's only like $50 a month. But we're going to make an appointment and come in.
Oh, that's great.
Call and ask.
Okay, good. Thanks for the question.
Thank you.
We look forward to seeing you.
Okay.
So just to remind everyone, if you want to call and make an appointment, our number is 518-465-7581. I just say the 518 now because you have to dial it first, you know, even though we're all in the 518.
Although you're not in the 518, so maybe not everybody's.
Maybe that's why I say it, because I have to remember that.
And our folks, downstate, they're 845. Right?
All right, that's true.
Yeah,
that's
so,
right.
So the 518 is probably good.
I'm in the 413.
It's weird just with that whole area code thing now. You know, it's not something that we grew up with. And
right.
Kind of random.
Right, and they're going to run out of 518, and they're going to do a new area code.
That's
what I remember, right? So.
That's why they started it. Yeah, because there's a layover area code which goes over top of the 518.
Yeah, that's going to be really hard to remember.
I'll say it's like 832 or something like that. So
I'll never remember that.
I haven't seen a new one yet.
No, I haven't seen
it. But 518 is definitely, you know, got to be used or you can't make the call.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And there are a lot of numbers that I have saved on my phone that were prior to the area code. And a lot of times I'll just hit the person,
dial.
The contact, and then it says, you know, this call cannot be completed as dialed. And I'm like, what's, you know, and I'm like, oh yeah, it doesn't have the area code. So I have to go back in and change it. It's interesting because I was reading an article this week on, you know, we always talk about aging in place and, you know, there's so many things that aging in place is comprised of that we don't always consider. A lot of times people think it's just care.
That's right.
You know, they don't realize all the other things. All right, we're going to talk to Nellie in Albany. Hi, Nellie.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
My dad is getting divorced at age 86 from his wife that's 87. And we've reached a tentative agreement this past week on the settlement, which it isn't finalized, but basically my dad has had a lot of assets that he inherited and had prior to the marriage, so he had a lot of assets where she did not. And the agreement basically is to pay her an annual income monthly for the rest of her life. And we're going to have to set up a trust for that. Is there anything I should be aware of in this final agreement? It might be important to have some kind of stipulation if she went in a nursing home that it would stop, so we wouldn't have to keep paying that. Or is there something that I need to be aware of about one of these kind of agreements?
Yeah, no, that is a good idea, actually, that you just mentioned. For example, it would stop if she went into a nursing home because then she wouldn't need the income anymore. You know, presumably Medicaid would pay for the nursing home. Another good thing you mentioned is to have the assets in a trust, you know, which is a way to protect those assets so that if your dad went in a nursing home, they wouldn't get depleted and not be there. You know, you could also have in there that if your dad goes in a nursing home, he doesn't have to make those payments anymore.
Right.
Right. So,
So if he went in a nursing home, he wouldn't have to make the payments for her anymore?
You could ask to have that in the agreement, because once he goes into a nursing home, depending on his financial situation, mm-hmm. you know, maybe if he's protected his assets in a trust, he's going to be on Medicaid, you know, so there may not be the ability to pay that income anymore. So that would be something to think about.
Well, I think there would be the ability, but... like I said, I'm just trying to figure it out. There's supposedly going to be an agreement drawn up next week, and we're going to be coming to your office to set up the trust
Good.
For that. But we also need to manage some of the investments in the account.
Right.
But some of it is... He just does have a good stream of income coming in from his investments.
Yeah, so there's some planning we could do around that as we're setting up the trust. So that would be good information to bring. And, I think that's good that you're thinking about these issues, you know, making sure they get into the agreement ahead of time.
Nursing home.
Yeah, nursing home.
Payments would stop.
Right. Stop or be reduced.
If she was in a nursing home.
Yes, definitely. If she goes in a nursing home, you would want to stop those payments. Right.
Okay.
So that's thanks for the call, because it brings up a lot of good information, because as folks maybe get older and, you know, there are marital issues, you know, meeting with an attorney that just does marital disputes may not actually think about this whole aging thing and what is at risk as people age, and if you're separating out. I know at one point Dave was meeting with a client, and the couple had been separated but never legally separated for over 35 years. And it really posed a lot of issues when it came to getting him care and looking at his long-term care plan, because, you know, the wife was still on the deed to the house, and there were just so many things that, even though she had not lived there in 35 years, you know, she still legally owned half of what was there. And
also, if you're just legally separated but not divorced, when you apply for Medicaid, they still look at both people's assets.
Right. So thanks for the call. That's great information. A lot of times people don't think about that.
Yeah, no, that's right. So if you have a question and you would like to call, you can call us at 518-476-5900 or toll free at 1-800-WROW-590. Right. And if you want to learn a little bit more about aging in place, you can come to our seminars. They're coming up at the end of July and August. We have on July 30th at 2 o'clock. It's in Kingston at the Best Western Plus. And then shortly after, we have them in the Albany area, August 13th at 2 o'clock at the Hampton Inn in Clifton Park. August 14th at 10 o'clock at the Courtyard by Marriott in Washington Avenue in Albany. That evening at 6:30 at the Glenn Sanders Mansion. And then on August 15th at 2 o'clock at the Holiday Inn Express in East Greenbush.
Lots going on.
Lots going on. Lots to think about as you age, and as we talked about getting prepared ahead of time for aging in place. There's lots to it. Right?
There is lots to it. And, you know, it's not, you know, obviously we always think about the care, what kind of care you're going to need. But it's also, you know, a lot of times when I meet with families, it's talking about the things that you can do to extend the services that you'll receive, plus, you know, that will provide you a little bit of independence that doesn't require a person to be in the house. And sometimes it's just making some modifications to your home. You know, when we talk about things in the bathroom, we're going to take a break for Tony in Gilderland. Hi, Tony.
Hello, ladies. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to find out if you know what the gift tax exclusion is for this year, 2019.
Yes, it is $15,000.
$15,000.
Right. So that means you can gift $15,000 to as many people as you want, and you don't have to file a gift tax return to report that gift.
Right. Neither party, the receiver the giver.
No, neither party has to file, and neither party has to pay tax, unless, this is unlikely, I'll just put it out there, unless you've gifted more than, $11 million over a lifetime. I just thought I'd say that for fun.
Thank you very much, and have a nice day.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So I think we were talking about some of the things that can be done to...
to modify the home.
To modify the home that actually extend. And, the bathroom is one of the biggest places that we can do things that will really help extend people's independence. If you think about most older homes that have bathtubs, getting in and out of that bathtub can be very dangerous. So even just converting a bathtub to, a curbless walk-in shower, grab bars are a great idea.
There's little benches you can use to sit on.
Right, and then, even a handheld shower. I mean, when you can really make somebody very independent, just making those sort of modifications when they would have had somebody to be there to hold them, to get in and out of the shower, and those different things.
And we have Nellie from Albany back again with another question.
I was just wondering, when we get this agreement, the tentative agreement for the divorce settlement, wouldn't that be a good thing for somebody like your office to look over? I know the lawyers for the divorce prepared this, because I'm concerned somewhat about some of the tax consequences, as well as if the wording is correct for, if one goes to the nursing home versus the other and versus long-term care, is I don't know how it works. They said Tuesday they should have the agreement written up.
Right.
But then I'm kind of like, should we just be signing it? I don't know.
I think I wouldn't sign it yet. I know you said you're coming to our office. If you could wait. I think it's good to have an elder law attorney as well as the divorce attorney review this agreement, because there are things that each party is going to know that, they can contribute to the agreement.
Okay.
So if there is any possibility, I would, call our office on Monday and see how you could get that over to have someone review it.
Because they said it should be coming. I haven't gotten it yet. I know it's the 4th of July weekend.
Right.
But I'm concerned about that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I will give a call and see if I can set up an appointment for Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, give a call and we can have someone look it over and make sure it's not going to hurt you and your dad in terms of long-term care planning.
Because I'm kind of concerned because it basically takes more than half of his income.
Yeah.
But I think it's not, my dad's going to have to pay taxes on it, and it's just money to her because alimony is no longer
taxable.
Deducted, so that's going to be huge in the first number of years.
Yes, it will be. Yeah, so give us a call and we can talk about that and give you some reference for tax advice also.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yep. Bye.
And we have another call. We have Tom in Half Moon. Hi, Tom.
Yes, hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question about IRAs and 401ks. I understand that they're protected from nursing home costs. Could you talk about that a little bit, and I'll just hang up and listen?
Okay, yeah, sure. We can do that.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, so New York State is really good that it has this exemption for qualified retirement plans, that's IRAs and 401ks. And I say New York is good because I live in Massachusetts where they're not exempt.
Wow.
And in New York, they are exempt. They're exempt so long as you are taking what Medicaid calls periodic payments. So that is basically similar to the concept we all know as required minimum distributions that you have to take once you're age 70 and a half. So what happens with that is the required minimum distributions that you're taking count as income. And generally, if you're on Medicaid, your income gets paid to the nursing home if you're in a nursing home. But the balance that's in your IRA or 401k account is exempt. And when you die, that is going to go to your beneficiaries. Medicaid will not have a lien against it. Mm. So it's a great exemption that's available, because most people's assets are in their home and in their retirement plans.
Right.
So this really protects the retirement plan piece of that.
Right. And it's really important, you know, it's interesting because I was at a seminar not too long ago, and it was just a community forum, and there was I was there from a care management perspective talking about different things, and then there was an elder law attorney, and that elder law attorney was talking about Medicaid and things like that, and really only talked about a 5-year look back, and only really talked about being able to protect your assets, you know, through an irrevocable trust, and then, you know, you had to do planning 5 years in advance. And one of the things that I say to folks, because most people don't realize the other side of Medicaid and the things that we can do, even if you go to a nursing home, right, we always say to folks, there's something generally that we can always do.
Right.
A lot of times I hate when people have come into the office and they said, well, you know, my loved one's been in the nursing home for about 15 months. We've been spending down their assets and now they're down to 15,000. And we're like, oh my gosh.
That's right.
You're down to 15,000 and we haven't done any, you know, we haven't met with you because we're certainly not going to get Medicaid in the next month. You know, the next thing is that all of that that's been spent, could some of that could have been preserved. And for some people, it doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. But there are people out there that is their legacy to their family, or that
right.
is, you know, the thing that they worked hard. And so wanting to be able to pass along some of that to the next generation is always a consideration in doing a plan.
Yep, that is. So we actually have a question from a caller who didn't want to speak on the radio, I guess. And the question is, can you name a lawyer as a power of attorney? For example, if you don't have a child, family member, or friend to take care of things. And I do get that a lot sometimes where people just can't think of someone to name.
Right.
They don't really have any close family members, so they're looking to see if they can name a professional. And a lawyer could serve as a power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Probably they're going to charge for their time, you know. So that's just one consideration. We also look at other professionals. Maybe you have an accountant, a tax preparer, you know, someone else like that. So you can look for things like that if you don't have close friends or family members, but just remember you probably have to pay for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always a challenge when we have folks and we're trying to do those kinds of things for them and they can't really think of people that would be able to help them through something. I'm working with two brothers right now and they're both in their 80s. One is still traveling the world. The other one is probably moderate stages of dementia. And you know, each are, you know, they really don't have anybody outside of their circle. They've kind of outlived, you know, their significant others. They did not have children. So really, you know, they're trying to do planning and it's been a challenge trying to figure out how to develop a good plan for them because of those missing components.
And sometimes, I mean, this isn't quite at the level of appointing a power of attorney, but I know there are a lot of bookkeeping services or bill paying services for seniors.
Yep.
That you can find in the community, probably through the Office of Aging.
Yep.
Where if you're getting on in years and you don't want to handle that anymore, you could have someone do that for you. So that could take care of some immediate issues that you have.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the other thing, just going back to Nellie's call and talking about when you have complicated situations as folks age. You and I are working on a case together that is quite complicated. And one thing that, again, that I like about what we do is we try to encompass everyone in the plan that we develop. So we, you know, are walking, you know, talking with the power of attorney and the financial planner.
Right.
You know, we're all going to get around a phone and conference each other. But that's, I think it's really important to your point that we should at least, you know, have conversations if you've got somebody else involved, because your financial planner may have this grand financial plan for you. And sometimes aging doesn't encompass that we're building wealth sort of thing. So it is important to really talk about, you know, the different options that are available for folks as they get older and, you know, whether it poses a problem in an aging plan or not, you know.
Well, in this case, the financial planner was a help because he noticed some things going on right. with this individual and reached out to the power of attorney.
Right.
So sometimes that person can be pretty involved in what's going on. And,
right.
and they can really help contribute to what the care plan should be going forward.
Well, it is really a collaboration. Mm-hmm. I have another client that I'm working with up in Washington County, and there are five of us that are collaborating mm-hmm. on what mm-hmm. the best plan is, because and there's a lot going on, and we're all playing a piece of that. And it's mm-hmm. a medical provider, it's the Office on Aging, it's us, it's their mm-hmm. respite provider. So there's a group of us that are mm-hmm. really, okay, well, I'll take this part, I'll take that part. He's mm-hmm. one that's being challenged by finding documents, and he's just overwhelmed by the process. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, one person has stepped up and said, well, I'll go spend an afternoon in the house mm-hmm. and dig through files and see if mm-hmm. I can find some of these things. And if not, I'll go to Social Security with right. that, you know. So, again, it's really looking for solutions to those things mm-hmm. as opposed to just handing somebody a list and saying, yep, this is what we need. Be on your merry way.
Right, because if you're elderly and you're alone, you know, maybe you're widowed or something, it may be hard for you to figure out that list and get
things
together.
Well, and if your kids don't live local or, right. you know, mm-hmm. or they don't have a lot of interest in what's happening, because that happens too.
Yes.
I mean, you know, there are lots of dynamics that go on, and so it's...
Well, we often do on Medicaid applications, if the person doesn't have the documents, they'll sign an authorization, mm-hmm. and we will write to the banks and get the financial information for you, so that can really be a big help for people who
right.
Don't keep their bank records, or they're kind of disorganized, right? So that's just an example of being a team, being collaborative. Right?
Yes, yeah. It takes a village sometimes
right.
in these situations.
That's right. It does.
You know, and talking about aging in place, we were talking about some of the things that can be done to extend that independence. And you know, we were talking about the bathrooms, and one of the other things that a simple fix for a lot of folks is, you know, people don't think about this, or thresholds, you know, the mm-hmm. thresholds between doorways or up and down stairs, because most homes don't have what we consider like a zero mm-hmm. threshold, because mm-hmm. just transitioning from floor to floor, you know, a tile floor to a wood floor.
Right.
Oh, we're at the end. See, Ben, so, I can't see you.
Thank you for spending the hour with us, and happy 4th. Have a good weekend.
Happy week. And
thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.